Welcome to Significant Women. My name is Carol McLeod, and I'm thrilled to be your host on this podcast that's focused on bringing out the very best in women in all walks of life, in all seasons of life, and in every aspect imaginable of life. I hope that you'll join me every week for stirring conversation about what it means to be a woman who's living a truly significant life at this time in history. You know, when I think of a significant woman, I always think of Elizabeth Elliot. Her husband, Jim Elliot, was martyred by the Aka Indians. And there's a quote that's attributed to Elizabeth that has stirred me like no other quote that I have ever heard. This is what Elizabeth says. "The fact that I'm a woman doesn't make me a different kind of Christian, but the fact that I'm a Christian does make me a different kind of woman." How about that? As followers of Christ, my friend, there's no end to the significance, the power, and the grace that one woman's life can hold. In today's podcast, I'm going to be having a heart-to-heart conversation with one of my favorite girls on the planet. Her name is Danielle Stoltz. She's a 30-something mom of three little people, is married to the love of her life, runs a burgeoning business, and loves the Lord with her whole heart. I love watching Danielle do life. One of the things I love most about her is that she's thoughtful and wise beyond her years. So listen well to her heart. Listen for sincerity and truth in the heart of Danielle Stoltz. Now, to look at Danielle, you'd never know what she's been through in her childhood years. But I can tell you this, that every challenge, every hard situation, and every disappointment that she's gone through has refined Danielle into the strong and significant woman that she is today. Let's join my conversation with Danielle Stoltz. Well, my guest today, as I've already told you, is my dear friend, Danielle. Danielle, what are you actually? Like, you're a daughter in the faith, you're a best friend. What?
Yeah, I think, is mentoree a word?
Yeah, I think that would be. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, sometimes you mentor me.
Oh, hey. Okay, that's awesome. Yeah.
So it just works, doesn't it?
I mean, I feel like God has really used both of us in each other's lives in so many different areas. And so it's like, we're just really great friends that get to really work together and do life together, and I love it. It's amazing.
I do too. And I'll just tell the people who are listening that although I am old enough to be your mom, because I am, I just feel like I have a newfound friend
for
in
sure.
You. Yeah. That our relationship is just a solid friendship. We disagree, not often.
But we disagree gently.
We do. Yes. We're gentle disagreeers.
Yes, for sure. And I was just thinking the other day, I think we've known each other about 7 years now.
Stop it.
Yes.
Really?
Like this month was when I asked you for prayer for a job opportunity, and like we hit it off ever since. So it's just crazy how long we've known each other.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Well, Danielle, as always, I want to start the podcast today with hearing about you, with hearing about your story. I want to know what's important to you, any details about your life that you feel could encourage the listeners, because we were just praying, and I quoted the scripture that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by Jesus.
Yeah.
He helps us overcome, and by the word of our testimony.
So true. And so, well, first of all, I am not originally from Tulsa, but I have lived in Tulsa for about 10 years now, and I am married to the love of my life, Jason. We are about to celebrate our 8th wedding anniversary, which is absolutely crazy, and we have 3 children. I have a 5-year-old little girl, Isabella, she's my mini-me. She keeps me in line sometimes. I have Lily, who is 2, and she helps me learn patience, but then she's also very sensitive and loving and kind. And then I have Isaiah, my 3rd, and he is now almost 8 months, which is so crazy. but he's just my little cuddle bug. And being a wife and a mom has really been just a joy. And I didn't grow up thinking, I want this many kids and I'm going to be a mom and I'm going to get married and my marriage is going to look like this. I grew up more thinking about the things I wanted to do. And so I feel like in life, I have learned that motherhood doesn't stop me. I know that that might sound strange to some people, but for me, it was like, oh, if I have the more kids I have, the less I can do, the less trips we can take, that the less I have to work. And God's really given me the opportunity to be able to pursue my dreams and passion, as well as open my heart to these three amazing kids and raise little world changers. And that's become my greatest passion. And that's become what I want to do in life more than anything. And yeah, it's just so exciting to be able to raise them. I will say that 2017 to 2018 were probably my hardest years as a mom and a wife. At the beginning of 2017, I was pregnant and I had Lily in May. And then I found out in 2018 in October that I was expecting Isaiah. And between that time, there was just a lot of things hormonally.
So how old was she when you found out you're expecting Isaiah?
She had just turned one.
Just turned one.
So you've got
these two little girls, yes. 3 and 1.
Yes.
And you find out you're pregnant again.
Yes. And just, it was a surprise for us. I found out I was about 8 weeks pregnant when I found out. And obviously just hormonally things are going on in your life. And because of my mindset of what I thought, the more kids, the less, you know, I am able to do, I kind of went into a dark place, and not where I wanted to hurt myself or my kids or anything, but just where I didn't know what God's plan was. And it scared me because I didn't know. And I think a lot of things were hormonal as well, but a lot of things I just gave into my emotions. And I learned that that's not what God's plan is. Even though we have emotions, He wants us to give those to Him. When we're scared and when we're fearful, sometimes that's a cautionary thing, but sometimes it's just worry. And God's like, give it to me and I'll care for you. I'll take your burdens. And so while there, I felt guilty because I was having this sadness because I was pregnant. I knew all these people that wanted to have babies. And here I was just with this bundle of joy. And it was actually you that gave me the encouragement that you're like, a baby is never a sad thing. And so me and my husband talked, and I even saw counseling because I realized that there were fears that I was dealing with just whether or not I could handle it, whether or not I was enough, whether or not I was capable. And it came down to that depression was just a reflection of insecurity that I was dealing with.
You know, Danielle, you've said so much already. I've heard so many trails I want to go down with you,
yeah,
as I'm listening with the ears that our listeners might listen with. But mom guilt, it's a real thing, isn't mm-hmm. it? And so you have these three beautiful children. The oldest is 5 and a half.
Yes.
And your husband has a corporate job,
yes.
Works very hard, but he's a hands-on dad.
Yes, for sure.
And then you work full-time.
Yeah.
You own your own business. So mom guilt. Talk to us about that. What do you do when you're feeling guilty?
So my kids right now are in daycare and school 5 days a week. And that was really hard for me because previously I had my youngest two in daycare just a couple days a week so I could be able to get work done. But I realized what I was doing was I was working around the clock. My kids were home and asking me to play with them. And I couldn't do it because I had a deadline I needed to meet. And I was having actually more mom guilt by working what I thought was less. But I was around the clock and I was trying to do laundry and keep everything together. And I felt like I was spiraling. And God kind of finally revealed to me that what works for your family, what works for you. Don't think about what worked for your mom. My mom was a stay-at-home mom most of my life and, you know, was home when we got home from school. And I wanted to be that mom. And not to say that I won't be that mom someday, but right now that's not where I'm at. That's not where our family is at. And I had to realize that putting them in school 5 days a week meant when I picked them up from school, I had the rest of the evening just to give to them. And so now we play and we do dance parties and I have time to meal plan and I have time to do laundry. And I just have to give myself grace. And I think that's the problem, that a lot of moms feel more guilt than they give themselves grace.
That's good. The difference between guilt and grace, to give yourself grace.
Yes.
Don't stir up the guilt, but give yourself grace.
It's so true.
Every young mom I know, she's doing the best she can do.
So true.
You know, none of us would intentionally warp our kids. We're not perfect, but we all love our children unconditionally. Danielle, were you a natural mom? Like when they first placed the baby in your arms, did you feel like you'd found yourself, or did you feel like, oh no, what have I gotten myself into?
So with each baby, I felt like more and more like, oh my gosh, this is what I'm supposed to be. This is who I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be a mom to Izzy. I'm supposed to be a mom to Lily. I'm supposed to be a mom to Isaiah. I know that there are moms that don't connect with their babies right away, but that was something that my husband and I really prayed about, because we'd heard about that previously. And we just really prayed that God, we would have an instant connection and an instant love and passion for our babies. And oh my gosh, I knew with Izzy and Isaiah, they weren't in my arms first. They were my husband's arms first, because they had to go to NICU, and just for a brief time, nothing too serious. But I just remember sitting there in that hospital bed being like, where is my baby? Like,
let me at him. Let me at him.
And yeah, so it's just really funny. I have different connections with each one of them. And Isaiah, doesn't matter what he's doing, or if he's pulling my hair, or, you know, if he's putting something in his mouth he's not supposed to, I want to cuddle that little boy and love on him. And Izzy and Lily, they are just they're my mini-me's. They're my kid. They're like my kid. They're obviously my kids, but they're also like extensions of me. And I just see my personality so much in them. And so it's just crazy how much I love them.
Yeah. I just wish the listeners could see your face light up when you talk about your children. And that's true of us as moms. There's nothing that really brings such joy and sparkle to our lives.
Yeah.
And frustration.
So true.
Yeah. You know, one thing I love about what we're talking about today, we're talking about the choice to live significantly, even when the circumstances of our life might not seem significant to somebody else. Like you and I, we don't work on Wall Street. We don't have an office at the White House. We're not at the United Nations trying to bring world peace, but we're real life women who love life, love our families, love the Lord, and we're endeavoring to leave a significant impact.
So true.
With the days we've been given. So, Danielle, even though being a mom and a wife is really the primary job description, the primary hat you're wearing right now, I know that you also have an interesting growing up story, that some things happened in your childhood home that gave you a strength that a lot of women don't have.
Yes. So I am the oldest of four kids. And when I was 7 years old, my mom had my sister, her third child. And side note, this was kind of why I started having anxiety when I was having my third child. Tiffany, my sister, she was born and just seemed like the normal, happy little baby. And around 2 or 3 years old, we realized that she was kind of digressing. And that's when my mom and dad realized that they needed to take her to some specialist. And this was in the early 90s, and there wasn't a lot of research and understanding about what special needs was. And we learned that Tiffany had autism. And it was a very severe autism where she kind of stopped speaking. She said some words, but it was like the more that she grew, she kind of stopped at age 2 with her learning and her functioning. And so growing up, I was the oldest and I was 7 years older. And then my mom had another baby when actually she found out she was pregnant right about the time that my sister was diagnosed with autism. And so I had a little baby brother right when my sister was 3 years old, and that was hard in our family. I was 11 at the time when she was diagnosed, and I was almost 11. And it was just the time that our family kind of, we went really deep into God, and we were just asking God to heal Tiffany. And I feel like as the years went by, it was harder and harder for us to know what to do with the situation, because we wanted your typical healing where you know, it was miraculous. She woke up and I had a dream one day that she woke up and she was talking to me and she asked me what was for breakfast. And that was just this dream that I kind of held on to. And as I got older and older, I felt like I started questioning God. And I remember I was like 14 or 15 years old and I was praying and I was kind of wavering. I was feeling like a little heavy-hearted that my sister would wake up in the middle of the night crying and we shared a room. And sometimes I would try to comfort her instead of going and getting my mom and my dad. I felt like there was this responsibility for me to care for her as well because my mom and dad had two other siblings. And I just wanted to help any way that I could. And so I remember being 15 and it was this moment where I was starting to really doubt God. And I was praying one night and I was like, God, can you just please help Tiffany? She's crying and I don't know what to do. And I had tears in my eyes. And I looked over and I felt like I saw someone comforting my sister. And to this day, I'm like, I don't know if this was an angel. I don't know if it was just what God showed me in order to comfort me. But it was that moment that I was like, I want to know more of God. I want to understand God and know that in the midst of whatever is going on and whatever storm in my life, that He's there for me. I want to be able to know that even if I can't see Him comforting me, that He's there. And so I started waking up every morning at 5:30 and reading my Bible. I would read a devotion, I would pray, and I would read the Bible through a year. And I love when you always talk about that addiction to the Word of God, because that's what I felt like I got. And at 15, God was like, He gave me an addiction to His Word. And I did that probably for about 2 or 3 years. And I felt like it set such a strong foundation in my faith. I've had some hard walls in my life as an adult, with finances, with my marriage, with my kids, with health, within my family. And I've never doubted God. I've known that things really stink and it's awful. But at the end of the day, God is faithful and He's here for me. And I feel like that 2 or 3 years that I really just saturated my life in God's Word, that was really the game changer for me.
You know, you said two things that I want to reiterate for the listeners, because I feel like we all need this. How you experienced the presence of God in a real way when you cried out for it. And so for the listeners, if you're in a hard place today, if you don't like your circumstances, if you're wondering where God is, I want you to remember the words of Danielle, that she prayed for God to comfort her little sister, and He was there. And the God who comforted Danielle's little sister is able to comfort you. So never forget that story. And then the second thing, you know, Danielle, often when we go through hard times in life, we build that wall between us and God, but you ran toward Him.
Yeah.
You opened the Bible. You said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to hunker down in the eternal truth and figure out who God is.
And I just want to tell the listeners that I did not want to at first. Like, I was 15 years old and it started in Genesis. Like, I read through Leviticus and it was confusing to me, but I did. I think that you always say that you don't read the Word for information, you're for transformation. Uh-huh. And it was like, I want to do this because the more that I do it, the more I want to. And it was so true that, you know, I found myself 6 months into it. And I was waking up before my alarm was going off. I was so excited to wake up and find out what God was going to teach me through His Word each and every day. And I found like hidden revelation in gems, even in Leviticus, when I thought it was like, what are they talking about? God just showed me Himself and showed how much He cares for His children. And so I just want to encourage people when they're like, I don't know where to start. Start at the beginning.
Yep. Start at the beginning.
Start one chapter at a time.
And I love the way you said you found hidden nuggets, because I always say, let's go digging for gold in Scripture, because it's there. And sometimes you got to dig for it, but it is there. And I love how reading the Word for you, Danielle, went from a have to a get to.
Yeah.
It was no longer okay. And can I just say, I don't know many teenagers who get up at 5:30 in the morning. Most of them are sleeping until noon, let me just say. And yet you had this unction. If you were going to make it, if you were going to live through this hard, you needed something greater and bigger than you. Yeah. Okay, so that leads me to my next question. What is the one lesson that you feel qualified to teach other women? And that's an interesting question, because we try to minimize who we are and what we've learned, when really there's gold inside of you. So I'm going digging for gold in you, Danielle.
Wow. That's
what is the one lesson that you feel like, yeah, I could teach that?
I feel like I could teach that God's faithful. I know that that's a simple truth, but it's something that I always come back to. God's faithful. God knows He has a heart for His children. And as a mom, when I'm praying for my kids, I always think, I am so in love with these kids, and God loves me more than I love these kids. Like, the way that I love these kids, multiply that times infinity, and that's the love that God has for me. And that's why He's faithful. And in the midst of the darkest night, in the midst of the craziest time of your life, never forget that God is faithful. He loves you, and it's not has nothing to do with what you're doing. God didn't show up in my life because I was reading the Bible every day. He was building something in me and changing me. But He's faithful even if I had lived the rest of my life and never opened up the Bible. If I had shut Him out and got in a hardened heart, God is still faithful and He still loves me and I'm still His daughter. And that's what I had to remember in that moment, that I had those two options, whether I embrace His faithfulness and His goodness or I run from it. And I'm like, why run from it? Because He's going to be there just waiting for me. So let's go ahead and just embrace it now. So that's what I feel like. That's the one truth that's perpetuated every situation in my life.
Yeah, I love that. You know, so often we try to put God into a human framework.
Yeah.
And so I think, well, I'm not faithful, so how can He be? Well, I don't love unconditionally, so He probably does. But no, we're in a different framework.
Right.
He's God. He's faithful. I love the scripture in the New Testament says, when we are faithless, yet He is faithful.
Yes.
His faithfulness doesn't depend on how we act.
It's so true.
His love doesn't depend on how we respond. And so I love that lesson. It's a powerful lesson, especially for women who feel like they've blown it.
Right.
Who feel like they've missed opportunities in life or gone down the wrong road.
And I even want to say for women that are struggling and feel like they've done every single thing right. They're like, you know, I go to church and I'm a leader and I'm reading the Bible and I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning every day. And I've never turned my back on God, but I'm dealing with this. Still, God's faithful. Like, stay strong because God sees you and He loves you. You're His daughter, but don't get so caught up in those works. And I do find myself thinking that sometimes when I go through hard times, like, I'm doing everything right. What's wrong? What happened? And God's like, no, that's not what it is. You're not the one that we're relying on right now. You're relying on Me. And so that's when I had to turn my attention to, in the midst of whatever this is, God's just writing my story. God's faithful along every step of the way. If I'll just keep my eyes on Him.
Now, we're going to take a break from Danielle's story. We'll come back to it in just a minute. But I want to take this time to tell you about a conference. I'd like to invite you to this conference that's coming up on April 3rd and 4th, 2020, in Buffalo, New York. It's called the Significant Women's Conference. Now, women from all up and down the East Coast will be joining us for this extraordinary two-day event that is designed to encourage and fortify the women of our generation. Carrie Cardinelli will be leading worship, Emily Long will be sharing from her heart, and I'll be teaching from the Word of God. In order to register for the conference, you can visit our website, which is carolmcleodministries.com, and then simply click on the conference link. Or you can call the ministry phone number, which is 855-569-5433. We'd love to have you join us for this event that's always life-changing, joy-bringing, and empowering. Who doesn't want that? And now let's get back to the podcast for the rest of Danielle's story. You know, when I was thinking about you this morning, knowing I was going to interview you and we were going to have this conversation, Danielle, I was thinking one of the interesting things about you is that you are a thinker and a doer. A lot of people are thinkers, they're philosophers, they're creators, they're dreamers. Well, you are that. but you're also a doer. You're like me. You've got a little bit of driven in you.
Yeah.
You're a producer. You want to get the job done and do it well. And so what do you do when those two worlds collide? When your thinking and your doing are at war with each other, what do you do?
So my husband is a really good help for me. An example of this was the year that I switched jobs, switched careers completely, had a baby and bought a new house. It was December and my oldest was 4 months old. And I was like, you know what? I just feel so stagnant. I feel like I want to change. I feel like I want to do something big. And Jason's like, buying a house and having a baby and changing careers isn't big. And so there's like this drive sometimes where I have to calm down. I think that a lot of times I do have to take a step back because I want to I want to act right now. I want to go and do something crazy, but I do have to keep that practical side. So my husband is a good balance to all of that. But God has taught me really to step back and to be patient, that there's maintenance years, that there's maintenance times where all those thoughts and dreams, put them in a notebook. Don't forget about them, but it's not time to act yet. It's time to maintain what you've got in place. It's time for you to develop and strengthen yourself and make sure that foundation is still good before we build on something new.
I love that, the way you said there are maintenance years.
Yeah.
You know, every piece of equipment in your home needs maintenance.
Yes.
Whether it's your car or your refrigerator, in order to get the job done, it needs to be maintained. So I love that.
Yeah. I mean, even when you think about your home, you buy a brand new home and it's beautiful, but if I don't do anything for it for 5 years,
right,
it's going to crumble. It's not going to look nearly as beautiful as it was.
You know, you've heard me say this before, but I think that for a woman, life is seasonal in a way that men don't experience seasons.
Right.
We experience these very definitive seasons in life.
Yeah.
And so I always tell women, especially young moms, listen, don't be shoveling snow when you should be planting flowers.
Yes, that's good.
Know what season you're in and respond appropriately to it. So I love it that you shared with us how you maintain, how you deal with that struggle of creating and doing. Okay, next question. Do you have a life motto? If you could sum up who you are and what you've learned, like in one statement, what would it be?
I know that this is not a great one, but it's our motto in our home, and it is what it is. And I know that is so cliche, but that's our life motto because we sometimes try to work real hard to fix things that aren't supposed to be fixed. We want to change things where we're supposed to be waiting in the season. And I can't believe I'm saying this is my life motto because I remember my husband told me one day we were having this really big financial issue. I had forgotten a bill and it had gotten out of control. And I was like, how did I not see this letter that came in the mail? I don't know how we're going to pay it. And I'm crying to my husband. He's like, you know what, Danielle? It is what it is. And I was like, are you kidding me? That is the best advice that you have for me. And this was like really early in our marriage. And he was kind of realizing like this.
That you might be a little bit of an overreactor.
Yes, exactly. I'm a little bit dramatic. And I feel like that statement right there is my calm. It is what it is because we serve a big God. We serve a God that's not surprised by what's going on. And so when I say it is what it is, it's almost like it's my calm moment. It's my calm to my storm. It's like, it is what it is. Okay, what can I change?
Yeah.
And that's when you kind of like, when I think about that, it just makes everything, it doesn't fix anything, but it makes me calm down. It makes my drama level go way down.
Yeah.
And so that's what I've learned.
I love it. It puts the challenge in a manageable pile in your life. It is what it is.
Yes.
Okay, let's deal with it.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. So, you know, on this podcast, Significant Women, we're talking about what it means, what it takes to live a significant life in the middle of the mundane. We're talking about maybe some components that are alive and growing in a significant woman's heart. And so I want to ask you, who are some significant women that you know? Just tell us one or two women who have significantly impacted your life? And it's okay if nobody knows their name.
Yeah.
Or it can be somebody very famous.
Yes.
But who are your heroines?
Yeah. So I love my mom. My mom is a significant woman. Now as a mom of three, I so appreciate the challenges and the crazy moments that she dealt with a dramatic teen while she had a newborn and a child with autism and then a little boy that was running around the house. Like, she dealt with four kids that had completely different personalities, and she's my hero for that alone. But just the fact that she, I didn't come up with this seek God out of nowhere. Her and my dad really set a foundation that God's work comes first. Like, that was just something they always did. The first response to every situation was, well, let's pray. And I love that about them. And to this day, when I tell her some bad news, she was like, okay, we're going to pray real quick. And I just love that. So yes, my mommy is the most significant woman. I have a tribe of women here in Tulsa that God has blessed me with. And we even have a group text, and we text about everything from allergies to vitamins to kids driving us crazy and getting into our makeup to pray with me about this really crazy situation I'm dealing with. And Natalie, Lacey, and Erin, I don't know what I would do without those three girls, because they like really have built me up in moments where I felt really low. And so those are my significant women. And then I know that this is your podcast, but you have made a significant impact in my life. Like I said, the first moment I met with you, I had a job opportunity and it was going to be a big change for our family. And I just prayed. I just asked you for prayer, and just your prayer was so consoling and comforting and powerful all at the same time that it moved me, and it moved heaven, and I got the job. And now 7 years later, we've had several of those moments where you've carried me through hard times. And I'm just very thankful for that.
And I love it how our first personal interaction one-on-one was that I prayed for your career.
Yeah.
And I remember it specifically. And I remember the job you were struggling with. And now here we are 7 years later, and you're working for me.
Yeah.
How fun is that? Didn't
so
God
fun.
Just giggle when I yes. was praying for you that day?
God is such a God of divine connections.
He
and I
is.
Love it.
I love it too. I love it. Okay, so now I didn't get this okayed with you, but we are going to play the lightning round.
Oh, goodness.
Okay. And I didn't really prepare you for it.
Okay.
So I'm just going to ask you a few of your favorite things.
Okay.
I'm going to throw some things out there, and I want you to respond as quickly as you can about what's your favorite thing in this category. Okay.
Let's do it. I'm ready.
Okay. Your favorite book?
My favorite book is Andy Stanley's The Enemies of Art, and that taught me that I wasn't as nice of a person to the people that I loved as much as I wanted to.
So what's the name of it?
The Enemies of the Heart.
Enemies of the Heart.
Yes.
By Andy Stanley.
Yes.
Ooh, I'm going to get it.
It's
okay.
A good one.
Favorite worship song?
I love So Will I.
Oh, I love that song.
I will play that and just boohoo like a baby. And I'm like, yes, God, I'll give you all the praise.
Okay.
And the rocks cry out.
So if you're listening today and you need a great worship song, it is So Will I.
Yes, YouTube by Hillsong.
By Hillsong.
It.
Okay. Yeah. Favorite Bible study or Bible study tools?
I love YouVersion. I love it that I can just open up and find, you know, I'm dealing with stress right now or loneliness or, you know, just need something for my marriage. Me and my husband want to connect more, and they have devotionals for couples. And I have like all my notes from the Bible. Like, I'll read my big Bible that I've had for several years, but then I'll go in YouVersion and I'll write the notes down and highlight things so that I can never lose that or never gets messed up. And so I just really love using YouVersion.
Yeah, you and I both love YouVersion. And for those who don't know, it's the little brown Bible app on your smartphone.
Yes.
Or online, you can just go to thebible.com, I think is what it is.
Yeah.
And that's YouVersion. It's an incredible tool in the 21st century. Okay, favorite podcast?
Favorite podcast?
I dare you to say just one because I know you.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I love podcasts.
Yes.
But my favorite is, I really like Rachel Hollis. She actually has two. She has Rise and Rise Together. And it's just really built me up as a woman of things that I want to pursue and going after my passions and then just being wise about some of those decisions and then Rise Together, she does with her husband, and me and my husband will listen to it. And
so,
you know,
cool.
Yeah, it's really great.
Okay. Favorite blogger?
Favorite blogger. I really like Jasmine Starr. She is a social media just guru, and then I like Jenna Kutcher, another social media guru, and they really just inspire me in my business.
Okay. Favorite follow on social media?
Favorite follow on social media. That's a good one because I follow so many crazy people. I really like, I go back to Rachel Hollis to follow her on social media. And then I like Annie F. Downs. She's a really good one to follow.
Okay. Favorite kind of coffee?
Oh, favorite kind of coffee. My go-to drink always is a caramel macchiato from Starbucks. But I also am a coffee snob and like to go to trendy coffee shops around here. So,
favorite date you and your husband have ever been on?
Oh my goodness. You totally blew my mind on that one. My husband and I used to drive over to, we have a big river here in Tulsa, and we would just drive and just talk. And we would do that when we were dating. And we would just sit there and talk about our dreams. And we try to do that like once a year. And that's just like my favorite thing. We'll grab a coffee and we'll sit there, or sometimes we'll get something, a meal to go, and we'll sit there for 3 or 4 hours and just talk and dream. And that's like my favorite thing to do with them.
Okay, my last favorite. Favorite book to read to your kids?
Oh my goodness. Okay. Favorite book to read to my kids is Chicka Chicka Boom Boom, because we do the boom boom and it's like really cute to see the little ones react when I do the boom boom. But I just read for the first time in my life. I don't know how I've lived 5.5 years as a mom and not read On the Night You Were Born. And On the Night You Were Born made me cry all the way through it. Like, I'm reading it to my 3 kids and just boohooing. So I feel like that's a favorite, but I can only do it sparingly because
you'll cry.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, because you're highly dramatic.
Yes, exactly. Yes, yes.
Oh, Danielle, we've had such fun today. Thank you so much. Before we go, would you just pray for our listeners?
Yes, for sure.
Okay.
Father in heaven, I am so thankful for this opportunity to speak to women today. And I just pray, God, that You would see each woman that's listening, each person in their situation, God, and You would intervene in a powerful way, that You would touch them like never before. God, whatever they're dealing with, whether it's stress, loneliness, whether it's issues with their children or their marriage, whether it's issues with their finances, I pray, God, that You would show Yourself strong, show Yourself faithful. May they have that moment where they see You and know that You are God and that You are so good and You love them so much. I thank You for Your daughters today, and I thank You just for building them up. Send people around that will hold their hands up, that will hold their head up high, and will build them up in You and let them know who they are and know that they are significant. I just thank You and I praise You for healing, health, wholeness in every area of their life, God, and just bless them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Danielle, and I just want to tell you, you're a significant woman.
Thank you so much, Carol.
You might feel like your past is holding you back, or you might feel like the mundane of your current life is defining you. But I hope that from Danielle's story, you'll remind yourself that God is able to bring hope and joy to anyone's life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love You so much. And we just bless Danielle today in Jesus' name. Father, thank You for her story of growing up and motherhood and finding herself in You. Father, for every woman who's listening today, I pray that Danielle's story will become her story. Father, that we will grow up in our faith, that we will find ourselves in You, and that we will determine to serve You wholeheartedly every day of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for listening today. And I want to remind you that you, my friend, are a significant woman indeed.